morning.
Hey.
How are you?
Good.
Good. I'm glad to hear that.
And you're coming in loud and clear.
Good. Good.
Me and Bill had a rough time last week.
Why?
Because his side was fucked up, and I knew it was his side, but he kept on saying it was my side. Because he would like break up like every third word. Like
Oh.
it was like weird, and we couldn't fix it. Like there was nothing, we tried rebooting and everything.
So at the time you were having trouble hearing him.
Yeah, we
Not
stopped
even on the recording.
yeah.
Oh, wow.
Because it was recording exactly the way it sounded.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh. Was it, I mean, how was the conversation? Were you able to understand what he was saying?
I tried, but it kind of gave me a headache. Like
Yeah.
it's one of those episodes where I tried to dominate the conversation because I knew that he couldn't, like, some of his words wouldn't come out.
Right. That's weird.
Yeah, it was
When that
very
happens.
strange.
Yeah. How have you been?
Good.
Good. You got anything new going on in your life?
I bought a lot of dollar comics,
Yeah.
219 of them, man.
Well, that is a lot.
Yeah, that was a lot.
That's
Which
almost $200 in comic books.
really fucked up
Oh,
my Mylar purchases.
I can imagine.
Well, it really sucks because the holiday's coming up, so I don't want to ship that over. You
Oh.
know, because they take when you get off the phone with the lady, I love the lady and she's all nice and all.
She's a nice lady.
I just wish I could order it online like on a Sunday if I needed them. Do you know what I mean?
It's very strange that they don't have that as an option in
Well,
2019.
things might change because I heard Jeppy, like I didn't know that Jeppy, the guy who owns Previews, owns that
I didn't know that either.
Mylar, E. Gerber, but they do. He owns like a bunch of areas, and he brought in like this technical specialist, and he's like shocked how primitive, like they haven't updated their computers, they hadn't done this, and I think his job is to try to get them current. Like, I think.
That would be good. I mean, it would be ni a
I
nice
like
option
talking
to
to the
play.
nice lady, but I
No,
just.
she's wonderful, but like you
When
said.
I need them, it's like on a Sunday night when I'm bagging and boarding, and I'm like, oh shit, I'm gonna run out this week. And then you have. So it's weird because they have this thing where they say, oh, it'll take anywhere from 2 to 4 weeks.
Yes.
Well, that's weird because sometimes it's 1 week and other
Yeah.
times it's three. And you're
This
like,
last time
well,
I
how
got
do
it
I
super
plan for
fast.
this? Like, how do I plan for it?
Exactly.
And I'm already going to be out and I don't want to order them during the holidays. So I'm going to have to like order it during the week of the holiday, if that makes any sense.
Yeah,
So the
no,
following week when I'm back, I'll get it.
it,
That's a
you know,
heavy
for me,
box. When you order 1,000 of them,
I
like,
can't imagine how heavy it
you
must
have
be.
to have a dolly with you, because at least when you're old like me, like 50, like, if you would go back into my 30s, no problem.
Yeah.
But some of those boxes are heavier than hell.
I know
And
for
I.
me, I have to order, or I have to set a reminder on my phone to make sure I remember to call them like during business hours on like the next business day. Otherwise, I'll because it's usually, Monday through Friday when I'm at work.
Yeah.
So I'll be just sitting there working and I'm like, oh crap, I forgot to call them.
And then sometimes they say, please hold, and then you're holding for a while she connects to another phone.
Yes.
I think what happens is she's working in the warehouse or something,
I think so
and
too.
then she
She goes,
goes into
hang on,
the
I'm gonna put you on
office.
hold. I have to go up front.
Yeah, I have to
I'm
go to the
like,
office. Yeah.
Oh, she's the nicest lady though, isn't she?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love her. She's really kind, and like I just love her personality. And
Yeah.
they must have me like on caller ID, 'cause when I answer, they're like, "Hi, Mike."
Well, they talk to you often, so.
What their computer doesn't do though is like I would just like to be on like this every 2.5 months, ship me 1,000. That's kind of what
Oh,
I need.
A subscription
Just
thing.
auto do it like I'm a
Yep.
store.
Yeah.
I order more than a store. I do. I know I do.
Well, you
Because
have
if,
to.
well, most stores, if they get Mylars, they only get like, they only stock like a couple hundred because
Right.
nobody wants the Mylar. They'll use the polypropylene still.
I was going to ask you, do any of the stores that you go to regularly there in Colorado sell e-Gerber?
There's one, but that you can't get more than 100. Do you know what I
Okay.
mean?
No.
He sells
Yeah,
them
I
as
was just
sing he
wondering.
sells them as singles.
Nobody around here. It's all the
Yeah.
polypropylene. Yeah.
And there, so I go to two shops. We have so many shops here. I'm like shocked. Like we have more shops here now than we've ever had. But there's two shops I go to. One I go get my DC books from, and I go weekly to do that. And then the other one is the only shop that I know of that's close besides downtown that gets the drawer boxes. So I don't have to have them shipped here
Well,
because
that's
shipping
nice.
is expensive. And what I usually do with him is I'll go buy 20 short boxes a shot. And then I store them in the storage unit so I have them. And then when I get down to five, I'll go order another 25. And, the thing is I've been packing those boxes pretty good, not extremely tight, but so you fit them all in there, but there's no dividers. And then I found out these rails though, because what I've noticed is if I only partially fill a box, sometimes they'll slide and the back books will get a little bent. And I found they have these rails that you buy for like $1.50 to $2. And they go along the side of the drawer box, and then the dividers like click onto them, so it'll like prevent any movement.
Okay. That's good.
Yeah, I love them. A matter of
Yeah.
fact, I'm gonna order 200 of those and have them just shipped here because they're not as big. They don't have a
Yeah.
big profile and not as heavy.
You order a lot of stuff. You have to. A
You
lot
have
of
to.
supplies.
Yeah, I like those rails though. That was like one of the best. Like, I was like, why didn't I ever try these before?
Yeah, I
And
don't have
I know
those.
why I don't. It's because I usually fill a box. But in the event that I half fill it, then my books will be in better shape. And if I just use the rails all the time, then if I merge books and I get one box to be a half or a couple to be a half, then I can just put the dividers in there.
Yeah. So what were you focusing on anything in particular in your dollar books or just anything that you
No, I
saw
was
that
just
you didn't
looking.
have?
It was I spent about an hour and a half going through like four or five long boxes, and I was just finding stuff that I knew was obscure and stuff I didn't have.
Did where what's were you at your regular comic shop?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So they have dollar boxes there.
Well, they had a couple in the back that they just opened up, and there was some like there's some gems in there. Like I don't think he weeded through it.
Oh, yeah.
Like for example, there were like Chaos Comics, like the Halloween Mike Myers. Those are like hard to find, and they're all double digit books if you look at them, like Halloween 3 or Halloween 2. They're
Oh, wow.
pretty expensive, and I was getting them a buck each.
Yeah.
So I was like, and then I found there was a couple books that were just in good shape that I already had, but I got anyway because they were just great. Like Teen Titans, like I already had a full run, but I picked up those again just because I couldn't leave them there for a buck. And then I got a bunch of Charlton and all kinds of stuff.
Oh, cool. I got a very small shipment from my comic shop.com earlier this week, I guess.
Yeah.
Just got a issue of Flash, a old issue 166. And then you know how that
What is that particular issue?
I'm just slowly going through and I'm really trying seeing if I can get as complete of a Flash collection as possible. This one just happened to be a nice grade. It was like fine and I thought that the price was pretty fair. So that's basically how I picked it. It's one that I didn't have. It's got Heatwave and Captain Cold on the cover.
Oh, yeah, I have that one. That's great.
Yeah, and Flash is, has a, what do you call him? He's got a broken foot or something. He's got crutches. You know that new character in Captain Marvel that's getting her World own title. Miniseries?
Yeah.
So I don't buy Captain Marvel, but I like the costume design of that new character. So I'm going to try out the series. So I bought all of those issues on my comic shop, the Captain Marvel ones where she first appeared.
Was she expensive, that issue, number 8?
It was 8. I actually got 8 on eBay for, I can't remember. It wasn't cheap. It was like $12, $13, something like that.
Yeah.
And then I got 9, 10, and 11 on my comic shop because they didn't have 8.
Yeah.
And then, you know what else I got? First one that I ever have had is one of those Blue Ribbon Digests, the DCs.
Yeah.
I don't own any of those. So I bought number 24 because it has an original Legion of Superheroes story. It's not a it has one new story.
Yeah, I've been buying those as I find them.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Some of them are kind of expensive, though.
They are. And yeah. I don't know, like, if...
I find good.
Like, in what format did they sell these? Did they sell these at supermarkets?
Yeah,
they
were at supermarkets.
That's what I kind of figured because of the size.
Yeah, they were alongside Archie Digest. Yeah.
I don't remember ever seeing any of these locally. Like, I don't own any.
That's crazy how they do that too. Like even if you go to Walgreens, the Walgreens people don't stock the magazines. It's like some third party that comes.
Yeah.
And they basically. I've actually seen them at Walgreens do it. They'll like take the what's left, count them, and then they get refunded for some of it. Do you know what I mean?
Oh yeah. Mhm.
So like yeah, it's like the way comics were back in the day.
Yeah. Well, that's exactly how they used to be. Like you said, with getting all your comic books years ago at the dump.
Yeah.
You know. But
key appearances. I got the first Rocket Raccoon.
Did you?
And, yeah.
Is that in a magazine or something?
Yeah,
magazine
it's in Marvel Preview number 7, which features Satana.
Mm.
And I got the first appearance of Gamora.
What one is that in?
She's in Strange Tales 180.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So I have all of them, all their first appearances, all of the Guardians of the Galaxy, except for Groot. I have Groot in 3 other formats because he's been reprinted a couple times.
Yeah, you covered it.
The dollar book, and then I have him in the Weird Mysteries, and then I have him in the Omnibus because I bought the Monster Omnibus, yeah.
Do you think you'll ever go and actually buy the original one?
Once you get into the 4 digits, it's kind of out of my, like...
What was
he
in?
Tales
to Astonish?
Amazing Fantasy one of those?
Oh, yeah, I couldn't remember which one it was. Okay. Yeah.
Astonishing Tales, I think.
Astonishing Tales?
Yeah.
It's funny how like they just took this random monster... character from, you know, a monster.
Well, he was a monster trying to destroy Earth.
Yeah. It's
well, he was actually going to capture Earthlings to, it sounded like, eat. So, like, he, like, formed, like, these tree rockets, and he was, like, taking a whole city and going to launch it into space. And he talked, like, you know, like a monster would, and some guy invented... He was a scientist, and he invented, like, this super termite and sort of took him down. But it's pretty amazing that Abnett and Lanning took a tree and freaking made him into, like, what he is today.
It's somebody with
a personality that doesn't talk. Well, he does talk in the comics now, but...
Oh, does he?
For a while, he just would say, "I am Groot."
Yeah.
And only Rocket could only understand him. Well, there's a couple of people that could understand him, but
that's cool. Yeah, it is funny how you just never know, like any of these old characters. somebody sees something in them.
And I don't know if you read Legion of Superheroes Millennium.
Yeah, I did.
But it blew my mind. Like, I personally thought it was genius. Like, the strategy of taking somebody that's like a D-list.
Oh, yeah.
And making her immortal. Like,
yeah.
It just blew my mind. And I was like, oh my God, I got to have her first appearance. So I was like, what's her first appearance? And it's like Flash Comics 88. And I'm like, what the fuck? That's like $3,000 right there.
I had no idea that was her first appearance.
Yeah. So I was like, damn. So I said, I'm going to get her first Silver Age. So I ordered that on eBay and it should be here next week.
Yeah.
But like, it's things that spark my interest that are like that. It's like you read something and they're like, wow, they're pivotal. And Maura McTaggart, I did the same thing, and it's like, wow, I need this.
Yeah.
And same with Satana. Like, I just coincidentally wanted the Satana cover, and it just happened to be Rocket Raccoon's cover. And I thought it was Satana's, but it's not. Hers is like in Vampire Tales number 5 or something like that.
Mm.
So I have to find that. And I've been trying to bid for it, but I haven't been getting it for what I want.
Where are you bidding, on eBay or somewhere else?
Yeah, on eBay.
Uh-huh.
But I might go the mycomicshop.route because they're sort of have, you know, acceptable ranges. Because mycomicshop VG is pretty good.
Like, yeah, I agree.
Mm-hmm. Their VGs are better than VG to me.
Yeah, I think they're pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, there might be an odd issue here or there that isn't what I would – like, I don't personally want in a VG. Like, there might be – Yeah,
huge
spine definitely. But
you can have a spine roll in a VG, though.
No, you definitely can. But, you know, just stuff that maybe, like, me – in particular, like, don't like, you know, doesn't like to see, but usually you can see the actual pictures of them.
Yeah,
for
you
the
can
most
zoom
part.
In, you can zoom into the older books. Yeah.
Yeah. So as long as it's not like something that you personally don't like to see in a comic. Yeah. Their VGs are just, I think they're really, really nice copies.
Yeah.
And the fines, like, I bought this fine, issue of the Flash. I mean, this thing's beautiful. It's beautiful. It has like stress marks along the spine, and it's probably got enough of them and, you know, slightly rounded corners and stuff that cause it to be fine. But I mean, it looks beautiful.
Yeah. You probably have a better copy than I do. Let me see what I have. What is that again?
166.
Have you upgraded yet?
What do you mean?
Upgraded your database.
Oh no, I haven't yet. Did you?
Not yet.
I forgot
I think I'm just going to wait until the end of the year, but it looks the thing I'm looking for is the phone app sync. Like, mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to that, and I'm looking forward to the speed because it takes a while to load, and I usually leave it up, but when you leave it up, it perturbs your sidekick, like, from doing its thing.
Yeah.
So I usually leave it up so I don't have to do the speed thing. What number was this? 130?
166.
166. Yeah, I have a fine copy.
Yeah, so it's the same as mine.
Mm-hmm. See, I have everything except I'm missing 162 and 159, 154, 152. And then I'm missing some oddballs like 147, 146. But I have a good run, and there's just holes missing. And then you get to 105.
I was going
to
say, do you have 105?
105 through 113, I'm missing straight.
Oh, I was going to say.
My first Flash is the one with Captain Cold. Let's see, 114. It's second appearance of Captain Cold. Yeah, 114.
Yeah, I like that. I like that cover. This is one where, like, technically maybe someday I could totally complete, but like those first few issues are very pricey, and you know, it would have to be the right time, the right place, and a much lower grade.
You're settling for a really, really poor copy, you know?
Yeah.
But
exactly.
I might consider, you have the first Kid Flash. I might consider like a a really low grade. It just has to meet the certain, like, everybody's got their perks, you know. Like,
yeah,
I don't,
that's what I was saying.
I don't mind a spine roll, but I hate stinky comics. That's that's my thing. And then if it's got too much, what do they call it when it's starting to tant, like
foxing?
Foxing. There you go.
Yeah. You know what else? I don't like when the staples are pulled.
Yeah.
But
I don't mind it if the rest of the book is intact and the cover's loose, but it's not tearing. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
If it's something really old, like Golden Age, I don't care.
Yeah.
Like that's not a deal breaker for me.
Yeah, different criteria for that for sure. But I don't know. That Flash 105, I'd love to have that someday, but God, I don't even know what condition I would even need to look at if I could even afford I don't know what a very good copy would be.
Yeah, the comic shop guy, he CGC graded a first appearance of the Justice Society of America. So, but I was gonna buy it when it was raw.
Mm.
But because he graded it, he wants like $4,000, but what it is, it's graded poorly, not because of the shape the book is in, but because it's missing the center page. Like it's missing the two center pages. So it's like, which I don't even know if they're story pages or ad pages, but I don't know. It's still a hell of a copy to have, you know?
Oh, for sure. Well, there's a Flash 105 going on auction on Comic Link in 2 days, a 4.0.
Ah, there you go.
I don't have the money to spend. You know what I do?
I would play that game for a while, and I never really want anything that I really, really wanted. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I got some stuff that nobody else really was demanding, but the stuff I really wanted it, and I'm going to try to go raw. Wow, she's digging for something. I wonder what she's doing. Harley never digs.
She's looking for something.
Yeah, well, we have gophers or voles out there.
Mm.
They're a pain in the ass because they make these mounds of dirt in your grass, like you have your sod, and they just.
Well, Mike, it looks like I can get a 1.5 copy on eBay for $700.
Ah, there you go.
So it looks like, if and when the time comes, I'll be looking at a 1.5. Maybe I can splurge for a 2. I don't know.
Yeah, I'd have to. The right circumstances would be there, and I'd probably have to be retired and bored. Like I don't know. Like, oh, I know I can spend this money, kind of thing. But that's a lot of money.
It is. You know, you were talking about missing the inside, the inside centerfold, and I was all excited. Quite a while back, I think you were still on Gotham by Geeks regularly. And they're talking about poison, you know, the first Poison
Ivy. Oh, yeah, because there's an insert in the middle. Yeah.
I'm like, I have that. And so Chris is talking about the insert and how a lot of them miss in the centerfold.
Yeah.
I'm listening to it on the car on the way home, right? So as soon as I get home, I go running upstairs, I pull it out, open it up. Yep, no centerfold. <I'm> like, damn it! But
I
still,
didn't even want to dig. I did not.
$10.
Yeah, I did not want to dig mine out to check. So I don't know. I still don't know. But the reprint, you know how they did the facsimile edition? It does have it.
Yeah, yeah.
So you could buy the facsimile and see what it looks like.
I got it. Yeah, because you know they've been putting it in the bundle on DCBS. So
yeah,
I've been getting it all.
It's probably the best thing I did. The best purchases I ever made were in college because I was like searching for first appearances and shit.
Mm-hmm.
And they were really affordable.
Yeah. You know, I was lucky years ago just picking up different comics, even at the flea market. Like this one would have been an early just hotel convention or even a flea market where I spent less than $10 on 181. And that's, even with it missing a centerfold, that's well worth the money, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So
who cares?
Yeah, exactly.
And plus, you're a little more anal retentive about the condition. So I can imagine that it's a little higher. You're at least one grade higher standard than I am for sure. And that has to be like if it's an old book. Do you know what I mean?
But years ago, I don't think I was necessarily like that. Like, you don't
I stopped doing the Marvel Redemption things.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, because I was like, I'm paying for this Marvel Unlimited.
Yeah.
And by the time I want to reread something, it'll be there. So why am I doing this? And it's a very time-consuming process. Because if you get like 25 books a week,
yeah,
and you're inserting those in there, it takes forever. And you can't bag them until you've done that, because you're going to open it up again and then look for the code. And yeah,
and you're ruining all your comic books.
It's not.
I'm just kidding. What is going on?
It just made no sense.
Yeah, no, I got
logistically.
Yeah.
What'd you say? What is going on?
Oh, I was just, you know, I was just looking at these because I went on eBay for Batman 181, and I don't know if it's gone down in price or what, but I'm seeing a lot of them for like $500, $400. No, they're not like mint copies, but they're all like 4.0s, 4.5s.
Yeah.
It's not, I mean, because I know for the longest time Martin was talking about it, and I'm like, I don't know what grade he needs to have it, but here's a 5.5 for $539. It's like 5.5, that's a really nice grade.
True. If I didn't buy so much, that would be a reasonable price for stuff, but because I buy so much quantity, a $500 book has got to be special.
Oh, sure. No, I mean, I get what you're saying, but like for somebody like him who...
Yeah, like, maybe you're just buying Batman. Yeah,
yeah.
I would go for it.
Yeah, that's not bad at all.
I may even have two Werewolf by Nights, first appearance of Moon Knight.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
One of them's probably like in VG, and the other one's probably like fine.
You know, Martin's birthday already passed.
you did get him a Moon Knight glass, didn't you?
I did, yeah.
Yeah.
I was just surfing Amazon
one
day.
Do you buy any of those glasses yourself or no?
Yeah, uh-huh, yeah.
Just out of curiosity, do you put them in the dishwasher?
No, we don't have a dishwasher.
What?
Yeah, we don't have one.
What are you in, like a house that's from the 40s?
Did you know we just remodeled our kitchen a little over a year ago?
Yeah.
And to get all sorts of new cabinets and stuff. And the guy's like, you know, you could have a dishwasher here. You still have lots of cabinets. No, we don't need a dishwasher. We want more cabinets. And so now we're wishing that we had sprung for the dishwasher.
I do not know anybody that doesn't have a dishwasher. And that includes like... going back two generations of family. Like, holy
me
crap.
And Stace. Well, actually, Stace's mom does have a dishwasher, but I'm not sure if it's functional or not. But I didn't grow up with a dishwasher at all, so it's like something that like I never was used to.
No, let me tell you, there's a couple things in life you'll realize. Once you have something like that, you do never not want to have it. In other words, it's like. But if you don't have it to begin with, you don't realize how much you're missing.
You don't know what you're missing.
But yeah, like if you, it's like a DVR. Like a DVR is pretty critical now for me. But back then it was like, well, if I'm not going to watch it, I'm not going to watch it. You know, right. It's like,
a garage door opener. So just from the house, we click it and I couldn't ever imagine not having that now.
Yeah, to having to get up, open the key,
no,
and then lift
don't do
it.
That.
Oh, hell, fuck no. That door is heavy as shit, too. I try to do that, and it's like, oh, my God. And, there's just a lot of conveniences that when I first was saving for a house, we were cheap. Like, we didn't have any money. because we had to save for everything that we had, and I would buy cheap furniture, like awful furniture. I'm god awful. It was so bad that there were like staples hanging out of these furniture. It was awful furniture. It was like $60 for a couch.
No, I totally get what you're
Yeah,
saying.
and then I realized we bought bean bags to not be on the couch. It was so uncomfortable. And it's like now when we buy like a bed or a mattress or you know some furniture, it's gonna be there to last, you know, and it's
Yeah.
gotta be there comfortable because your ass is in it like a good portion of the time.
Oh yeah.
So it's like, yeah, they're same with cars. Like I usually buy a car brand new, but it lasts 15 to 20 years, you
Yeah.
know, like it. I keep it maintained. I'm going to drive it into the ground, and when it's ready to kick the bucket, then I'm going to repeat and rinse, you know?
It is worth it. I didn't get my first new car until like after we were we were no, actually, was it just before we were married? It was just before we were married. But that's one thing that I'm definitely the same at. Before that, obviously getting either hand-me-down or used cars. Like my first car was just a
Exactly. All
hand-me-down from my
of
parents.
it was that way, you
Yeah.
know?
But it definitely makes a big difference. It pays off in the long run.
Yeah, and plus you know the history of it. Like
Yep.
nothing's gonna surprise you. You have the manufacturer warranty. You know where to take it. You know like its quirks.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, I didn't know that Barb was such a fan of Perks of Being a Wallflower.
I didn't know so either. I don't even remember her talking about it.
Me and her have been tweeting back and forth. I don't know if you had seen that yesterday, because
Yeah, she was telling me
we saw
about
it the
that
day before. Yeah,
as we
that.
were driving to see Dr. Sleep.
Oh, Dr. Sleep. Yeah, it was just is a fantastic movie. It's the second time I've seen it. I know that this isn't retro, but how was Dr. Sleep? Do you recommend it or no?
Yeah, but
Yeah.
I'm such an easy kill, Rob. I mean, like, I really hope people don't like listen to me too much, like to look for recommendations because I like too many things. Do you know what I mean? It's like life is life, and if I escape, I try to look for the bright side in everything, and I don't critique anything.
Yeah.
So it's like, hey, if it's an escapism. I just escape and I like it. This one I think is a good follow-up, like if you're into The Shining, like,
Yeah.
and it turns into more of a, while it does have like a gothic, and there is a scene in there that's disturbing. I can't imagine how disturbing it would be if you're a parent, but it turns into more of a super power type thing. Like
Yeah,
instead of being
I've
like
read the book.
there's horror in it, but the horror is mostly in The Shining, at least for me. And then once you get into the superpower realm, it's more like there's these cannibals that are like sucking the shining out of people. So that and that's the general theme of it. And they're being hunted.
Yeah, I'll
But you,
definitely see it when it comes out on streaming.
it was worth it. I love seeing movies in the big screen. Like it's I don't know if it's like a retro thing or it's the fact that people usually 99% of the time put their phones down and it's just like there's no distraction. There's you, the popcorn, and the movie, and you're just watching it. I like that. I don't get the same experience when I'm at home and there's other distractions. Like, it's just not the same.
Yeah, no, I get it.
But I saw Midway too, and that was really good.
I don't know what that is.
Midway? It's
Yeah,
a war movie.
is it new?
It's a. After Pearl Harbor, there was the Battle of Midway.
Yeah, but
Yeah.
is this a new movie?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so out of it. I don't. I used to read my Entertainment Weekly, and now it doesn't come out every week. But I haven't read it since the kids were born. So I'm like constantly not knowing what's going on.
I really like this
Which
take because they did, I think they did a real good job of showing like our technology really wasn't where it is. Like there was a fucking sub that we had and we couldn't hit a ship to to save our lives, man. They kept launching the torpedoes and I was like,
Really?
"Well, God damn it. What are you doing?" And it's like frustrating, but at the same time, it's different than some of the other movies because they're just showing you like, oh, we hit it, you know, like we do this. It doesn't give you the tension that technology wasn't there to do it. Like even the dive bombers, man, they had to go extremely low, like extremely low to launch a bomb on these moving aircraft carriers. It was so dangerous. And it's even so dangerous, like launching off an aircraft carrier, and they show you that, you know, they show you all the flaws of how dangerous it is.
I can imagine. When you think about that, you have to get off into the air very
Yeah.
quickly.
It was pretty incredible.
Yeah.
Like there was fight scenes, and I kept on thinking, you know, me and Bill reviewed Out of the Blue, which was a World War II comic book.
Oh yeah, that was good. I liked
Yeah,
that.
with Garth Ennis, and we were talking about some of the fight scenes and like how much chaos there was. Like it was like hard to follow. There was just so much going on, and the art and the radios talking over, you know, like trying to convey it. Well, this film did that too. It like showed the chaos. Like it was insane. I even had goosebumps during it. I'm like, holy shit, I just can't believe this.
Well, that's cool.
They awoke the sleeping giant.
That's
And
right.
I don't know if you know the Battle of Midway, but
No, I'm not that familiar.
it was, we could have potentially like lost the war. Like it was a key thing, and we made moves based on an intelligence officer and nobody wanted to follow it, but they did, and they were right.
When
Because
in during the war is this?
right after Pearl Harbor.
Oh, okay.
So this was the Japanese strategy was, let's take them out now. Like we can't let them breathe because they're a giant. So we've attacked Pearl Harbor. Let's not. And then once things like sort of turned, they're like, fuck, we awoke the sleeping giant. You know, we're in trouble. And they realized it, but I don't know, it's insane because even the pilots, they were like, when they were on the ship and they'd see like a plane dive bombing, they're like, well, these Americans will not crash, you know, like they won't kamikaze us like we do. It's just a like a warrior mentality.
Oh, yeah, for
And
sure.
every time they looked like they were gonna do it, they weren't really doing it intentionally, like a kamikaze pilot. They're just like, fuck it, I'm gonna take you out, man.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's pretty neat.
I got it. I had the weirdest dream this past week. It was a com my I don't remember ever having a comic related dream. And I had, this was a comic related dream. I was at my LCS
Yeah.
and we were sitting there talking about, what were we talking about? I think we were talking about Jack Kirby. And in my dream, I was in an alternate reality where Jack Kirby and Stan Lee never ended up doing any work together.
That's
So
a weird dream.
Marvel didn't exist. But yet I realized this. Like, I knew that I was the only one that
Did you
remembered.
just watch that movie yesterday or what?
No.
Like, what the hell?
I've never had
It's
a
like,
dream anywhere like this. It's so weird. So I'm sitting there, we're having a conversation, and in my head, I'm thinking, oh my God, they have no idea. They have, like, Captain America is around. They know who Captain America was. But, and I'm literally thinking this. They know Captain America, but like, none of those other characters were ever created. And it was so weird. So, like, we were talking about comic books, and, like, DC was around. And there was another company that was kind of – had taken – the spot of Marvel that was, you know, another
Malibu.
it didn't have, but like, I remember like looking at the comics and these strange characters like I had never seen before, except for in my dream. And I'm like, wow, there's no Marvel comics. And like Jack Kirby just never got together with Stan Lee and did anything. I have no idea what inspired that dream, but it was the weirdest thing. I woke up, I'm like, I've never had a dream like that before in my life.
I never have comic dreams. It's weird.
No, that my first one ever.
So, yeah, you think that something that I'm around so much would... No, I have crazy dreams. Most of mine are nightmares. The other day I had a dream that our house was falling apart. Like, there were holes in the floor, and I'm like, what the fuck?
I'm always having dreams that the basement is leaking from like all over the place. I don't know what that means.
I have that dream. I have where my teeth are falling out. Like,
oh yeah, I've had those.
I'm like, what the fuck? I'm just like eating, and then all my I'm like those are all my teeth.
So messed up.
A lot of school dreams, even though I'm not in school anymore, because it was such a stressful time, man.
I used to, but. I haven't had those in a while. Were your school dreams like you haven't gone in a million years because you've been like I used to have them. I haven't gone in like months because I've been working full time, and yet now today is the exam, and like I'm running around like the college
campus.
Yeah,
that's like I have the dream where I'm like looking at my curriculum and like, oh fuck, it's finals, and I didn't even know I was taking this class. What the hell?
Yeah.
I haven't gone to it all year, and
exactly.
There's a final
like,
exam.
I gotta start going to class. I know I'm working all the time, but I gotta find a way to get to class. It's so dumb.
Yeah. One of those things actually came true for me. It was like a engineering economics class.
Uh-huh.
And me and my friend were outside waiting for class to start. It's just the weirdest fucking thing. I don't know what we were thinking. But class was already on. And there was a quiz. And then we walked in, like, at the top of the hour, and everybody was coming out. We're like, we're a fucking hour late. We just missed the exam. Like, holy
like
shit.
I'm screwed.
That's pretty fucked up.
Uh-huh. Oh, it's funny. I like that.
Mm-hmm. So what do you want to talk about, Rob?
So, all right. Well, the first one I'll talk about, I've been reading, I started reading some All-Star Squadron.
Oh, yeah.
Let me tell you, Roy Thomas likes to put words on a page.
Oh, yeah. He's like a Claremont.
Oh my lord! I mean, this is not a criticism. It's what the 80s were, but it's funny. It's like I swear to God, five pages of All Star Squadron has more writing in it than like entire modern comic books.
Well, tell me about it. It took me 25 minutes to read Strange Tales because it was so verbose.
Yep. I'll bring a couple of these to work, and I'll on my lunch. I'll go someplace quiet and like at first I was bringing like three of the issues, but it was taking me like a good 25 minutes to read each issue. I'm like, well, I'm not getting through three of these. That's for sure. But it is really interesting. And what one thing that I didn't really maybe memorize or not memorize, but remember or pay attention to when I first read All-Star Squadron when I was a kid is how Roy Thomas incorporates like everything that happened in the actual Golden Age comics as like canon, you know, that all of that stuff happened and All-Star Squadron is kind of picking up the beginning of it is right when Pearl Harbor is.
Yeah.
So like most of these heroes are.
Yeah. I read that recently and that's crazy because they're talking about almost like we could lose the war kind of thing because they were going to attack California.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know, like a lot of these heroes are meeting each other for the first time in All-Star Squadron or haven't met yet or whatever. And, you know, he'll have little you know, editor's notes and stuff to talk about different things, or and they'll refer to something that happened, like Green Lantern or something will be in an issue and be referring to something, and they'll put a little asterisk and say, you know, this was this happened in, you know, what I forget the name of the title that Green Lantern was in the 40s. Was it All American Comics?
Yes.
Something like that. Yeah.
But he did have his own comic,
yeah,
too.
So it was like one or the other, like issue 23 from 1942 or something like that. So it was like referencing stuff that literally came out 40 years ago, you know, from the All-Star Squadron. So it was pretty interesting. But what I read this past weekend was All-Star Squadron Annual Number 1. And this one, you know, took me a good probably 45 minutes to read. And yeah. I took a half day on Friday, and I just sat down in the recliner. There's no one else home, and I just picked up this, and I just took my time and read through it. And it was a really interesting issue. The beginning of it starts with Green Lantern, Flash, and Wonder Woman. And Wonder Woman's not in the JSA at this point. They've only met Wonder Woman once before. And but they're doing a fundraiser for war bonds at like a circus, and they're doing different tricks. And while they're doing that, all of a sudden this bubble, this like a light bubble appears, and out of the light bubble comes the Atom, Wildcat, and Guardian. You know, Guardian with that yellow helmet and the
The Kirby creation
shield, yeah, from Newsboy Legion. So none of them have any. The other three have no idea who this Guardian even is, but they have worked with the Atom, and they've seen and heard of Wildcat before, even though they haven't worked with him yet at this point in history. But they start attacking the other three, and they're almost like in a hypnotic state. But not only are they attacking, all three of them at this point in history, none of them have any special powers, Guardian, Wildcat, or Atom. They're just regular people, but yet they're holding their own against the other three, who all have superpowers, and so they're not quite sure what's going on. But finally, Green Lantern kind of breaks them out of this hypnosis by using his ring in front of them, and they kind of come to, and they're back to normal, and they don't have any of these like superpowers. So they all end up leaving. And they meet up, and they start going through kind of, you know, where what had happened up to that point. And Guardian, Wildcat, and Atom all give their origins. And they learn that each of them had been trained by the same mentor for fighting. So being that that's the only, that's really like the only thing in common, they split up into three groups, two people in each, and they go to like a, basically in the, where they kind of learned a lot of their skills with this mentor to see if there's any connection. So Atom and I believe it's Wonder Woman go with together, and they go to where he trained, and there's a strange like being that looks just like the mentor, and they easily defeat him, but he's like a different, like he's all colored a certain color. And then the next group, Wildcat and one of the others go and to the gym that he trained with this mentor, and they find a different colored guy that looks exactly the same as his mentor. They quickly defeat him. And then the last group, Guardian and Green Lantern, do the same thing. And then what ends up happening is they get them all together. Now there's three copies, I guess, of this mentor all looking weird. And they end up combining into this large, huge pink version. And actually in the comic, he's more like just pale white with a pink outline as opposed to the cover. But he's extremely strong, and it's taking all six of them to fight him. And he's like basically some sort of a like an either an alien or some sort of aspect of evil that somehow had gotten his hooks in this mentor, because what had happened is the mentor was trying to kind of almost kind of not, I don't want to say take advantage, but he was training these guys to like do something that would make him also rich and so forth. Like first, if it was Adam, you know, he's like, okay, you're going to be, you know, great at doing this, you know, great gymnast, great fighter. But then Adam ends up pursuing superheroics. And then Wildcat, of course, is a fighter. And he's like, all right, continue that. But then he kind of dovetails off to do superheroics as well. And then Guardian was last. And when Guardian said that he wasn't going to continue training anymore and he's going to become a superhero, he got really bitter and kind of upset that, you know, he put all of his time into these people and then didn't see any return. And so he's been infected by this aspect of evil. But finally, with all six of them attacking, they end up destroying the aspect of the evil that had infected him. And unfortunately, he wasn't dead immediately upon that, but he was dying, and he kind of has his last words with each of his mentees, and then that's the end, and he dies. And the only other thing to say is this aspect of evil, which was like kind of like a white, just a bubble from earlier, Green Lantern shoots it out into space, and eons later, it makes its way to Oa, and the Guardians of the Galaxy end up, or Guardians of the Universe, rather, they call them the Guardians of the Galaxy, actually, in this book, and I thought that was funny. Guardians of the Universe send...
Did they really call them that?
Just for a second. It says, eons ago, the Oans, mighty, beneficent beings of a distant star purged themselves of all evil, so they may become the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Mm.
Yeah. So the Guardians of the Universe saw this thing and shunted it off to another universe and split it into three weaker parts again. So that's kind of saying, okay, will this happen again somewhere else? And then in the back, I like they've been doing this on and off in the regular issues, and they do it again. They have a fact file of the different characters, like Wonder Woman, Flash, Green Lantern, and Guardian all have fact files. And basically just gives like basic information, like alter ego, but also gives their first and last golden age appearances in a short or like a maybe a two-sentence origin in some cases, and any type of special notes. So it's interesting because obviously, you know, for Flash, Green Lantern, Guardian has first and last Golden Age appearances, whereas the special note for Wonder Woman is alongside Superman and Batman. Wonder Woman's the only superheroine to have her own comic magazine continuously since World War II. So she had no last appearance because she kept appearing. But I like the fact that they do those, especially with like somebody like Guardian. It gives like a lot of his appearances and stuff. So I've been enjoying reading these All-Star Squadrons. I'm going to read the first 20, then take a little break, maybe read some other stuff, and then go back to it until I finish the whole series.
You're still keeping caught up on all your weekly shipments?
I'm trying to. I mean, I'm still reading them, but I have to say, last month, I think it was a five-week month, so I got like 3 weeks worth of stuff 2 weeks ago and another 2 weeks yesterday. My pile has got to be about a foot or so tall at this point. So I still read them. I'll still read four or five new ones every day. Mm-hmm. In order to keep up, I'd have to read like six or seven.
Just out of curiosity, are you getting Absolute Carnage?
No, I'm not.
Are you getting Dial H for Hero?
Yes.
Did you get number six?
No, they sent me an email saying that they couldn't get a replacement order.
Yeah, same thing.
Did you get that too?
I got it on both of those, and I could sort of see like Dial H because those not a lot of people buy that.
Mm-hmm.
But I was shocked, Absolute Carnage, to get the same thing because it's like one of the top 10 books.
Right, that's a popular series.
But that one interesting. I only went to two shops so far,
mm-hmm.
and I can't, like, I was able to get Absolute Carnage number 4 easy because, I don't know, it's everywhere.
Yeah.
But the Dial H, man, it's weird. I can find Wonder Twins, but I can't find Dial H. It's like nobody's buying that.
I lucked out on Thursday. I went to my LCS just to pick up the comics I get there, and I went to their back issues. They had one copy of number 6, so I bought that. If when I'm around, if I see another one, I'll.
That seems to be happening a lot lately.
I'll
find a copy.
Yeah, if I end up finding one, I can let you know. Just let me know if you end up getting it on your own, and then I won't look.
That happened with something else, but I forgot to look it up. It was something obscure.
Hmm.
It was in the back half of previews.
That they weren't going to be able to get it?
Yeah. Usually when I find something missing, it's because of me. In other words, I didn't order it by accident.
Right.
But these last two, I guess they had damages and then they couldn't replace them. Like with Dial H, I was shit out of luck. But with Absolute Carnage, they were like, well, we could get you a second print if you want. And I'm like, no, I'll get a first print because I knew I could get it.
Yeah.
Like I knew everybody and their mother would be ordering a copy of that.
Yeah, for sure.
So,
that's weird. Yeah, I wasn't sure if you were getting Dial H through DCBS or if you were getting it.
I'm getting the bundle there because it's like the Brian Michael Bendis bundle or something.
Oh, right. Yes.
It's like Young Justice and
mm-hmm.
Wonder Twins and that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you see in the new previews, or am I just looking at the new solicit? I don't remember. But anyhow, it looks like Young Animal is pretty much just gone. That Far Sector is a 12-issue series. They changed it to Black Label.
No, it's still Young Animal.
The first couple of issues, but then like maybe it's the solicitations for February that just came.
Oh, maybe they got rid of it because Doom Patrol's finished.
Yeah, I think like that's it. So it was like one left.
I know they're trying to get rid of labeling.
Yeah.
But I don't think it matters. I don't think labeling's important. I mean, it's important for the people that Black Label might not be in continuity, but it could. Like, I think Doom Patrol is and Far Sector might be.
Yeah.
But something like Collapser or what else is in there, like the Vertigo stuff might not be. I don't know.
I don't think though. Yeah,
like the Harlequin and
Young
Joker
Animal
I'm not
to
sure
be, but not a lot of the necessarily the Black Label stuff.
Yeah, it's weird how they're
right,
making the Birds of Prey and Harlequin. That I'm yeah, shocked.
I know. I'm not
Harlequin, the Palmiotti and Gray has always had like this I don't know. They're combing the edge of like, there could be some really sexual things in there.
Yeah.
But they're sort of implied.
Yeah, like, I agree.
They're like touching this dark surface. I don't know if anybody will see it, but a lot of people, you know, that are adults will see it and say, whoa.
Yeah.
That's
well, I wonder
pretty
with Black
sexy.
Label if it's going to be even more
so. Even more so if they're just more subtle.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a strange thing.
I was surprised. Well, not surprised, but I think it's weird. Like you said, it said, okay, we're getting rid of all these labels. There's DC, DC Kids, and DC Black Label. But then at the same time, there's Wonder Comics by Bendis. Now there's Hill House Comics. And it seems like they say one thing, but then they turn around and do something totally else.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of fluctuation back and forth, I feel like, with DC.
I think there's a lot of quality that DC has still. I just think
Oh, me too.
I think there's too many bean counters in the. I mean, we work for companies, and every now and then you can see it. Like
Yep.
you could see they're trying to cut processes out, or they look at like a pie chart and they say, well, this isn't profitable, we'll cut it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And
Yeah.
that there's probably some guy at AT&T that's like, they do the math. Like it's not hard to do the math, but they're like, you solicited a Jonah Hex omnibus and we got this many orders. I'm not gonna let this go through.
Yeah.
It's not hitting our threshold of profit.
Right.
And they probably say, okay, well, let me at least try to resolicit it. So then you have all these cancellations of, all these omnibuy.
Yeah.
And I think like recently they made a 6 issue, a 12 issue, a 6 issue on
Oh,
Inferior
Inferior
Five.
Five. And
Yeah.
that book's so cool.
It is so different. Like I don't know like how it exists or if it exists in continuity because it's right after the invasion.
Which is a really weird
It's
choice.
the whole book is weird. Like why they greenlit it is amazing. Like that's more amazing than the book itself. But it is like awesome.
It
And I
really
just
is.
love the way like they it's like part Lemire and part Giffen and they're just doing their own thing, I love Lemire's Peacemaker too, because he flat out like just defines the character in issue one. He's like, "I'll create a bunch of war just so I can have peace. I'm
I
willing to
just
kill
want
everybody."
to know how I'd like to see what that process, that creative process of, like for somebody like Jeff Lemire, where you have something change from 12 to 6 issues. How do you choose to wrap that up? Or maybe did he have two story arcs and now they're only going to tell one?
Well, yeah, I can imagine from a reader perspective, they did it with like the Great Ten, and you can tell the difference. Like
Yeah.
you're going at this pace, and it's like to the pace of a drum, and then you hit the last 2 issues, and it's like da 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 da. It's like it doesn't flow as well, but it's
No.
like, hey, let's cram everything. And I bet you, I read the first 2 issues of Inferior Five,
Me too.
and it's going at a slow pace because it's like building up. Like, okay, there's these five kids and one kid they always have to replace because he gets killed, and it's just really weird. And these al the Dominators are looking for them and their parents, and it's just so bizarre.
Yeah.
And I can't imagine the process of what they're gonna do to like show this, because we haven't even seen like Peacemaker. He sort of like got the first issue was the Amanda Waller saying, what was his name? Commander Steele saying he's not ready, we don't want to deal with it. And Amanda Waller said, yes, he is ready, we're going to send him out. And then the next issue, it's like he's contemplating whether he should put the helmet on or not, because it's almost like he's a dual personality, right? Like
Yep.
he's not the same person when he puts that helmet on. Like that helmet
Right.
turns him into like this killing machine,
Yeah, exactly.
and he puts the helmet on. So I don't know, it's pretty amazing, but I'm digging it. I love the art style. Like it just works, and I it's so Kirby-esque that it's just amazing. Like
It's great.
the second issue when he drew that monster, like that insect, I'm like, holy crap, this is amazing. I can sit there and look at those panels. It's just like, wow. But I imagine that Inferior Five exists because they want to retain the name. So I think that on DC they have like this wall of copyright things. And
And when they're gonna expire?
when they want to refresh the copyright, and they say, okay, we need to refresh the copyright for Inferior Five and Peacemaker, let's do it so they know that we're still putting out the property. Because Charlton Arrow is they were combing the line there saying they were an historical publication, but they were showing Peacemaker comics, like new material.
Oh,
And
were they?
and I was buying them because, hey, it had Blue Beetle and Captain Atom and stuff. You have
Yeah.
to order them, but yeah, it's pretty crazy. So yeah, I imagine it's a copyright thing, and then they're like, okay, who could do the pitch? Like, I think Metal Men's the same thing, because nobody's interested in that but me. I mean, you bought it too, but
Yeah,
there's not a
I thought
lot
it
of
was a good
people.
take
Yeah, there's
on
not a
this
lot of
issue.
people that will buy Metal Men or Inferior Five. You know, it's just
No.
not like a property that's gonna sell through the roof.
That I always wonder about that, and what you said is probably the answer is that copyright stuff, because you have to know, no matter what type of story you have to know you're not going to be making any money by putting out an Inferior Five or even a Metal Men book. Like, it's not going to blow up and be like a huge, like, financial success. You have to know that. So sometimes I wonder, like, when they are, these bean counters and stuff.
Unless you just are lucky, like sometimes you hit like this beat, like who would have thought Animal Man would have been what it was, right?
Yeah, that's
Like
true.
this character that appeared in a first few issues of Strange Adventures and then later was in the League of Forgotten Heroes or whatever it was called,
Yeah.
became like super popular. Like, who would have thunk it? But who would have thought Walking Dead would? Like, it's just a zombie book. And who would have thought it
That's
would have
very true.
hit the, like, there are themes that make Walking Dead like different, but the underlying theme is no different than things we've seen before.
Right.
So it all he did was take something that we've seen like a bazillion times and then just add a little bit more character and made the zombies like they're a threat, but they're not the biggest threat. The people are the threat.
Yeah, it's
But
definitely.
that's been the same thing with like George Romero movies.
Yeah, I
It
think that he just took
it's not
that spirit.
usually it's not usually the it's not the zombies that usually are causing like the problem. It's because one person in a group decides to do something stupid or decides to open the door to the mall or let the motorcycle gang comes in. You know what I mean? It's just
Yeah.
it's somebody that does something that just perturbs the stability for their own needs.
Yeah. Kirkman created some he did a good job making great characters that people actually cared about. I think that's what did it.
And then
Be
shocking you.
and then
Like,
oh my God, for sure.
yeah. But we've seen shocking things before. He just added elements that into one long story, and
Yeah.
people weren't used to that.
No. Yeah, you're absolutely right. It's interesting.
Yeah, you never know what's gonna hit. Like, who would have
No.
thought New Teen Titans would have blown up at the time that came out? DC was hurting, man. Like,
Yeah.
they didn't know how to compete with the big M. And then New Teen Titans hit, and it kind of made DC viable again.
Oh,
Like,
for sure.
created a new world for them, and it just kicked off. Like, you know, started off in DC Comics Presents 26 and then just blew up, you know, from issue one.
Yeah.
And then they teamed up with the X-Men because they knew they
And that
knew
is
that
a
we
good
had these
point.
two gold mine properties. Let's make a crossover.
And Teen Titans had been around for a long time. And so that is a good point that, like, how, there was no expectation that suddenly this new iteration was going to be some amazing success.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, earlier in the week, Bill Bomer texted me. He said, "Did you know on Amazon Prime there's a Chris Claremont documentary?"
I had heard it and
And
I had heard of it and I need to watch it.
I watched it yesterday.
How was it?
I took Barb was talking to Daryl, and I was like, "They'll be talking for an hour, so I'll just watch this documentary." And I really liked it, but what really opened my eyes is, man, I didn't realize one thing I really liked about this documentary was some of the side stuff. I especially liked the Jim Shooter stuff because he really came across as like the Iron Fist. Like he wanted the company to, and it was crazy because it started like when DC. He submitted stories for the Legion of Superheroes when he was like 15, and DC Comics had no idea this was a 15-year-old. They had no idea. And then they said, "Hey, DC said, we like what you're doing. You're going to start Adventure Comics, blah blah blah. We want you to come down to the office." And then that's when they realized they were talking to a 15-year-old kid. And they say, "Can you put your mom on the phone? Can you put your mom on the phone so we can talk to her and see if you come down?" But he was always a Marvel fan, and he spent an awful lot of time like finding out like why does Marvel work and DC's not? Like he spent a lot of time reading it and seeing like what are they doing? Like what beats are they doing? And once he got over there, they got him as an editor in chief, and they got Chris Claremont. Chris Claremont was just—he was working for free. He was an intern. And when you look at it, Tom King was an intern for DC too. So,
I didn't know that.
maybe that's your foot in the door—is either write a bunch of shit or be an intern. But he interned and was working for free for a long time while he was in college, and he sort of got the job on X-Men right after Giant Size X-Men because X-Men wasn't selling. We all know Giant Size X-Men, it hit it, but it wasn't like huge. But it was enough to say it was viable. Let's reinvent, this comic title, and that's when they got Claremont, and then they got Byrne. And it's cool because they had two of my favorite women in comics, Wheezy and Ann Nesenti, like as the editors. I love Ann Nesenti. Like I'll buy anything she does. I just love her. But she's prominent in the documentary. And the other thing that was really cool is it showed how much he had to fight with Shooter. Like, and they were both admitting it. He was gonna bring back Jean Grey. And the thing I like about Shooter is he would like fight and fight until like the writer would come up with something that he would agree with, but he would make him think outside the box. Do you ever have people like even in our my business, there's some engineers that will say, "Nah, thought, and you're like, "What do you mean?" And then they'll inspire you because they're a jackass up front. But it inspires you to think a little more outside the box.
Well,
And
and
I.
Shooter might have been, a jackass, but I don't think that he was doing it just to be that. I think
No.
he was
He
trying
knew.
to push people. He was trying to push
He
people
knew
into
what
better
worked and he
stories.
saw the numbers. He was just seeing like cause and effect.
Well, I remember even reading or hearing something that he even was arguing with them even about killing Jean Grey and saying, "Listen, if you're going to kill her, then she's dead. She's not coming
Well, in
back."
this documentary, it came back as like one of the th Shooter's things was dead is dead. Okay, so
Which makes sense since he went into Valiant.
when Chris Claremont first wrote the, he liked what he was saying because he was like, "We've had villains become good, like Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch. They became Avengers, and we've had, but we've never had a hero go bad." And they were like, "I like this idea." So when he said we're gonna have this Dark Phoenix thing, Shooter was all over it. And then they were trying to figure out, like, he first plotted like the Shire would take her away or imprison her or something like that, and he's like, no, I don't want none of that." And then he comes back, "Well, then I'm gonna kill her." And it was crazy because they talked about like fan outrage. Like people were like, "Oh my God, you killed Jean Grey! I hate you!" You know,
Can you
like
imagine what it would be like today?
I can't imagine. Well, we already know what it's like. We see it every day.
I know.
But it's just it's pretty incredible, and the banter between these two and how much they had to fight. Like he really used his editors. Claremont used Wheezy, you know, Louise Simonson and Anna Sente to sort of do what he wanted, and then he tried to take on too much, and it showed because Shooter was like, "I need another book," and Claremont was like, "No, we're doing fine. We got the readers. We got a good pace. We don't need another book." And Shooter's like, "We want more money. Put another book out." And it was crazy because he wanted his hands and everything.
Well, Claremont
So
didn't want to give anything
he
up.
yeah, he
He
was
didn't want to
working
give up
everything. So he's
control of
like,
those
"Okay, we
characters.
got." He did not have a problem giving things to Wheezy though. So like when the X Factor came, he was like, "X Factor." The one thing I really didn't understand is it was a flop. Like according to them,
Oh,
like
okay.
when it launched, it wasn't a big hit. And then they had to like tweak it so Claremont had more insight into it, and he gave the book to Wheezy, and then it sort of survived.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah, and the New Mutants story was pretty interesting, and how experimental they were, like by getting Sienkiewicz to draw that crazy style, and how Shooter was like, "Yeah, let's do it," you know, like. I don't know. He let things like break the ground, but he was like persistent on other things. Like he just wouldn't let happen. And then it was fascinating to see like towards the end when they were getting purchased by other people and Shooter was on the way out, how Claremont, the sales of the X books were dropping and he was sort of losing favor and the industry was changing to more of an art based. And then these young punks came. Some of the young punks I love, but you got Liefeld and Silvestri and McFarlane, and they didn't always want to do what the writer was telling them to do.
Right.
Like Rob was a rebel, man. He's like, "I don't want to do this. I'm going to draw this." And Wheezy was like, "Oh my God, I had to the things I had to do to try to make sense of the story," because he was trying to make splash panels everywhere. And I had to try to like write words around something that where the story wasn't there. And even Wheezy said like it was a big mistake. Like I don't think she likes Rob Liefeld, I'll tell you that.
No.
But that they lost power and people saw the dollars were elsewhere, and that's when kind of Claremont sort of pushed out around the Jim Lee and the Liefeld. 'Cause like I didn't even realize that X-Men number one was credited to Claremont for 3 issues and then he was gone. I didn't realize it was such a short
No,
stint.
I don't think I paid attention to that it was that quick.
Yeah. But anyway, I'd recommend it. It's pretty good.
Oh, I'm definitely gonna watch
Pretty
it.
good documentary.
That's awesome.
But I have one quick thing to cover. I read a dollar comic. Well, it was Billy the Kid. It was my first Charlton Western I have ever read. And this is Billy the Kid number 129, and it on the cover it says all Severin art. So he does all of the interiors. When I was a kid, I hated Charlton because if you opened it up, you would see like the letterer always looks so generic. Like a Charlton comic looked like somebody got their typewriter out and just started typing in the bubbles. And as a kid, it made me like, I don't like it. It looks weird. Now it doesn't bother me so much. I'm in a different headspace. But Billy the Kid, the first story was, I can't remember if it was the Cheyenne Indians Or if it was, let me see who it says here. He was driving a wagon train, and they were getting attacked for supplies because they were passing in Indian territory. And interesting enough, he went to go talk to the Indians because the buffalo that they were transporting were stolen by the Indians. And the buffalo that they stole or the cattle they stole all had anthrax. So Billy the Kid was like, one of the guys in the wagon train is let him have the disease that will kill him off. And Billy the Kid was, no, this is their land. We're invading their land. So I'm going to go talk to him. So he risked his life to go talk to the Indians and say the Comanche, that's what they were, a Comanche, and say, hey, that these had anthrax and they'll kill your people. So he let the cattle go back. But the irony of the story is when he got back to the train, the doctor said it's not anthrax, just cowpox. I don't know what that is, but it's not infectious for the people. The cattle will seem sick, but they won't get the people sick. So that's the irony of the story, is they took all this cattle back. They were able to eat it, and the Comanche thanked him for taking the cattle back, and they ended up having the cattle. And then they would alternate the stories between Billy the Kid and the Cheyenne Kid, and the next one was about a German rich prince that the Cheyenne Kid was trying to protect. And he had a German officer with him that was corrupt and trying to steal the prince's money, and the Cheyenne Kid and the prince had to turn the tables and defeat him and the gang that he recruited to steal the money. And then there's a Billy the Kid story that was pretty cool, is about this guy that was robbing a bank because he had a gambling debt, and he was worried that somebody was going to take his wife from him. So Billy the Kid went to stop these gamblers. They were corrupt. They were ripping off people, like illegitimately. So Billy the Kid went undercover as a Mexican. I don't know how that worked out, but because he doesn't look it at all. But he went undercover and broke up the gambling ring, and then the Blue Eyed Braves was truly a Cheyenne Kid story, where there were the Indians were using these white men to cause violence because they were bad guys anyway, and the Cheyenne Kid managed to stop them. But this was a lot of fun,
That's cool.
and it had an ad for, I don't know if women read Billy the Kid back in the day, but it had a lot of ads for women, unless you were a guy and loved shirtless Andy Gibb.
Well, you might have.
Because all the posters were not women. It was like you could buy these posters. And there was another ad, and it had all the heartthrobs that Barb had as a kid. She loved John Travolta.
Oh, sure.
Robbie Benson. You had a crush on him, didn't you? Barry Manilow, Scott Baio. No, I know you don't like him now, but
Scott Baio back in the day.
Eric
Well, come on.
Estrada. Okay.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Eric Estrada chips,
Oh,
Barb.
yeah.
You like Larry Wilcox. Oh. Leif Garrett. Yeah, you had a Leif Garrett shirtless shirt poster. Sean Cassidy's on this list. Parker Stevenson, the Hardy Boys. Gene Simmons of Kiss, Barb. That was Carl. Carl had that. Paul Stanley of Kiss. Well, all the
There you
members of
go.
Kiss. The Bay City Rollers. Yeah. I don't even know who this is. Leslie McKnowen. That might be a woman. Stuart Woody Wood? Who the hell's that? I'm gonna have to Some of these ones I don't even know who they are.
No.
The $6 Million Man. Farrah Fawcett Majors. Wow, they were married at this time? As Holly in Logan's Run. Oh my God, Farrah Fawcett was sexy in that Logan's Run dress. I would order that one. Peter Frampton, did you like him? How about the Bee Gees, Barb? Were they sexy? Andy Gibb is on here. Andy Gibb. Cheryl Teagues. Well, eight is enough, Barb. Wouldn't you want one of those posters on your... But it was a good comic. I liked it.
That's cool. I watched me and Zach watched something yesterday.
Ah.
We watched the two-part The Cat and the Claw from Batman animated series from the 90s.
Yeah.
And I've watched quite a few of those. I haven't watched nearly all of them. But I've watched a few, and I have the I bought the box set when it came out. I guess the beginning of the year, maybe.
Yeah, I have the set. I just don't have the Blu-ray.
Yeah, I got the, so I got the Blu-ray and
I don't
me
notice
and
the difference that people do. Like, I don't know if my eyes just don't have like the pixel, like the.
you don't know the difference, notice the difference between DVD and Blu-ray?
Not really.
Yeah, I
Like
notice a big difference, but I find it tough to see a difference between the Blu-ray and the 4K.
I just don't. I guess I could pop in a VHS and I'm perfectly fine. Like, with the quality, if that makes any sense. Like,
Sure.
I don't need to see the zit on the guy's forehead, like, blown up. I just don't need to. Or the sweat coming off the brow, like, that level of detail. I know some people love it,
You
but
know
I
where
guess my eye doesn't care, if that makes any sense.
I really can notice a difference with Blu-ray for like nature shows, like outdoor shows, you
That's
know?
different because, like, you go to the store, like, even to buy a TV, and they usually have it, like, so you could see the ocean or outso, you know, like.
It's big, and I think it's because leaves, grass, like everything's crystal clear. But
Yeah.
also the Iron Man movie, because of just his armor, is like
Yeah.
so like crisp. But you know, whatever, you know, to each their own. But
Did you
we,
like Iron Man 3?
I liked Iron Man 3. Yes,
I love that movie. I don't know why I love it so much, but people give me shit.
I didn't love Iron Man 2. It was okay,
That was the
but
one that was a dip for me. Like I did
I
not
thought so
hate
too.
it, but it wasn't. But Iron Man 3, I don't know if it was just like the story beats, and I loved what they did with the Mandarin, and people hate it because it's not like the comic book, but I dig it because it was like throwing a fast one on terrorism. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it was an actor that was like fronting that, and I was like, wow, that's an awesome plot device because he didn't even care. Like, he was just an actor being paid, and I thought that was
I don't
incredible.
know. I mean,
Pl
I
plus
liked it. I
that
thought it
that
was very good.
that actor, I is amazing to me. Like Ben Kingsley.
Yes, yeah.
Like I
He's
just
got
think I
Gandhi,
think
you know.
yeah, I know. And I just think he's an amazing actor. Like
Yeah.
he can act his way out of anything, and I
Oh,
thought he
he's.
was perfect for this role for what they did.
Oh, for sure.
And then there just was a lot of action, you know? Like there was all the Iron Man armor,
Yep.
and all that stuff, and him losing faith because of what happened in the first Avengers movie and stuff. Like him like having a PTSD.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I liked it. I thought it was very good. But well, let me go back to the Cat and the Claw.
Yeah, The Cat and the Bat by Tom
So,
King.
no, not them. Me and Zach sat down to watch that. What did Allie have on? She had Alice in Wonderland, and then she left the room. So we're like, well, we're gonna turn this off. Let's watch some Batman. So we watched that one. Zach's watched a few of these with me, so you know, he's familiar with it, and he knows the song very well because of the Lego Batman game, because he's been playing that. But But yeah, it was a good episode. I think it's the introduction to Catwoman in the animated series, and so he sees her for the first time in costume, and she's robbing, doing a burglary, and she gets away, and he's very intrigued, and then of course they show her in her civilian identity of Selina Kyle too, where she's trying to raise money for a wildcat preserve. And you know what totally threw me off at first is I assumed that maybe she was wearing a wig.
Yeah.
Because she had blonde hair. And I'm like, well, that's not, she must be weird, like trying to distract people. But I guess that's because of the Burton movies, right? That she's got blonde hair.
The what movies?
The Tim Burton movies.
No, she's not got blonde. Well, it's dirty blonde.
Yeah, well, Michelle Pfeiffer,
Pfeiffer's, but she's not, like, blonde.
No, but she wasn't dark-haired.
That's true. It's almost like a, well, I guess we could call it brownish blonde.
It was just weird to see Catwoman.
Yeah, it's bizarre. Seeing it in Blu-ray, you really get it crisp.
It was yellow. Very, very yellow hair. Like, what is going on here? So that threw me off. But yeah, I mean, that's her haircut. That's Selina.
It's weird how hair could throw you off because there's comic books that I know they've jacked up Wally's haircut. Like,
oh yeah,
they've turned it blondish and it sometimes, you know, it's supposed to be reddish.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They've turned it brown. I mean, I've seen comics where they've turned Wally's haircut like multiple colors.
Yeah, to the point where you don't even know, you're not even sure you're looking at the character.
It throws you off. It's weird. You know, it shouldn't make a difference, like, story-wise, but it does, because you're
right.
Like, what? Why?
Exactly. Well, so that's exactly what I was thinking when I was watching the show. But, so it turns out that's partially what she's stealing money for as well. She needs to raise money to be able to buy this land. And when she thinks that she finally has it set, this corporation buys it out from under her, and they claim that they're going to use it for like a big, like entertainment area for, you know, for people. Like there's a big hotel, there's going to be swimming pools, it's going to be all sorts of things, golf and stuff like that. But it's out in the middle of kind of nowhere, which makes her suspicious. And she actually was at a bachelor auction and bid $10,000 for Bruce Wayne. And I don't quite remember why maybe that's how she was getting the money into the wildlife thing, because she wasn't even interested in going on a date. He had to convince her to go. And anyhow. She gets during their what was going to be the start of their date. She gets the phone call that she's not going to be able to buy the land. So he arranges a meeting with the CEO of the corporation with her, and they go there, and that's where the CEO explains that, sorry, but you know, we're buying this. We're going to turn it into all this stuff, and the cats are going to be taken care of one way or the other, he says. She's pretty pissed off and also is suspicious because of where this place is located. And what it turns out is that he's actually working with this terrorist called Red Claw. And she's like a very muscular woman. Kind of picture Big Barda. She has, or even like, remember Thundra from Marvel?
Yeah, she was.
Yeah. You know how she has like one
awesome
shoulder
design.
Uncovered,
yeah,
and the other one, same costume design actually, same thing. So she's got like one bare shoulder, the other one's covered by her costume and stuff. It looked very similar, but very strong and stuff. And anyhow, he's working with her, and it turns out under this land is a forgotten about old abandoned military stash. So it has all sorts of guns and actually also has some chemical warfare stuff. So she wants to Red Claw wants to use that. So they eventually discover that, and this is a two-parter, two episodes, and they eventually discover that, and they go, Batman and Catwoman put their differences aside, and they go in and manage to destroy the facility. He gets, Catwoman gets out with Bruce's, or with Batman's help, and then Batman ends up setting fire. There's a gas truck nearby, and he pours gas all over the place around, like, all the chemicals, and then he sets it on fire and gets out just in the nick of time, so everything blows sky high. And then they capture Red Claw. And then at the end, it's just Batman and Catwoman. And she's like, oh, aren't you going to have the cop? Because the cops were there. Commissioner Gordon was there. And they arrested all of the terrorists. And Catwoman is hiding. And then Batman approaches Catwoman. And she says, aren't you going to have, you know, the police arrest me too? And he's like, no, I didn't want, you know, you to go through that, you know, indignity. And she goes, oh, you do care. And like, she leans in to kiss him, and he ends up cuffing her with his own bat cuffs, and then takes her to jail. So that was the end of that episode. It was pretty fun to watch these. I'm going to keep watching them on and off. It'll take me quite a while to get through it, but I'd like to watch all the episodes at some point.
Yeah, I've watched them all when they were live, but I don't think I've went back and rewatched any of it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So you watched, like, I had watched some when it was out, but
I recorded it
very little. Oh, wow.
Watched it all on VCR.
On VCR, sure.
Yeah, I recorded it all.
I think I still have a videotape somewhere that has, you know, like 10 episodes of it or something.
Yeah, I'd set my recorder for anything comic book related at mm-hmm. that time, because it was few and far between.
Sure was.
Now it's everything. You'd have to have your DVR running like all day. You can't
There's more stuff related than that now.
Yeah, if you have like a movie channel and you like just comb the movies, it's mm-hmm. incredible, because there's a comic movie all the time. Like, just as you go through your DirecTV guide, there's comic movies everywhere.
Yeah.
Hey, you bought that Kickstarter with the Jim Shooter interview, didn't you?
Yeah.
Did you watch it?
I've watched some of it, but I haven't watched it. I probably only watched about a half an hour so far.
Do you know if it's from a publisher called Off the Record DVD?
Yeah, it was.
Okay. I could buy it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was. It's interesting. It's like I have to find time to be able to watch something like that, just because, you know, Stacy isn't interested in it, and our time's just so limited. So, I just have, and it's very long. It's 5 hours. So
yeah, there's gotta be some gold in there.
Yeah, you gotta kind of watch a little at a time, because, you know, who can spend five hours to just sit and watch an interview, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, it definitely is. It's Off the Record. Yeah.
Yeah. I was just looking that up. I was looking on eBay to see if I could just buy a copy, but I didn't find it. So
where did you find that you could get it?
Off the Record DVD.com.
Uh huh. Gotcha.
They have a Peter David one, a Jerry Conway one, and a Jim Shooter.
Oh, wow.
Those would be pretty good, 'cause I love all of them.
Mm hmm.
Yeah,
I got the good. I got a couple of Kickstarters in the mail recently. I got I haven't read them yet, but a girl with no name. It's like a Western.
Oh yeah, like it's Western. Like magazine size.
Uh huh.
Yeah, I got it.
Did you
too.
Get that?
Yeah.
And the other one is, and I know you got this one because you've talked about them a lot, and I was very impressed. The Painkiller Jane one.
Yeah.
Yeah, that looks great. And so well done. And like you said, they're very professional about
paper
their
Kickstarters. Films. Yeah, yeah. Jimmy Palmiotti. I buy them all. Him and Justin Gray. Like, I don't even care if it's in genres I don't support. I just support him because I haven't read anything yet that I've said, no, I don't like it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I get him sight unseen.
Yeah, I was very, you had mentioned several times, I think, on podcasts that they do a great job with theirs. And when I saw that they had a new painkiller chain, I'm like, I'm going to try it out. And yeah, they were great.
Yeah, I got one recently called Cat and Mouse.
Mm,
and,
okay.
The interesting thing.
Who did
about,
that one?
It is Roland Mand, and I can't
remember
who the artist is. But Roland Mand has like editor credits at Malibu and all this stuff.
Yeah.
And they had like issue two, but you could get a bundle where you could get issue one and two. And the thing I didn't know is that this came out in 1991. This new Kickstarter is brand new material, but there was a comic from Aerosol where this existed, and now I have to go back and get the originals
because
it was 18 issues of it. You'll find it on your comic base.
I'm gonna look it up.
It is a different revamp. Like, it's not the same material, but it looks pretty awesome. It's the same writer, but a different artist. Mitch Beard did the art on most of these.
I found it. Aerosol, huh?
Yep. So I'll be getting those. I got that Kickstarter, and then I always get the Jungle Girl stuff. I got one of those Jungle Girl books. I liked it.
Well, that's cool. Are you backing? I didn't, but are you backing any of the John Hughes Overground Deluxe?
No, because I'm not going to go over to the Indiegogo. I just...
Well, he's got a couple, at least the one, the America one's on Kickstarter.
But I have it all.
See, that's me too.
Is and that,
I don't love it enough that I need to have...
Exactly.
Yeah.
I found his universe to be very, like, mediocre, but it was mediocre fun. Like, it was like a continuity-driven mediocre... That I enjoyed, but it wasn't something that I would like. God, I gotta read this shit again. Like,
I agree, and it wasn't. God, I don't know how to say it. Like, I didn't know right away if it was going to be mediocre. Like, these are interesting. It seemed like they could be interesting characters and stuff, but I think we talked about it a lot when they were coming out. They were so decompressed. It was like...
Yeah, it was supposed to be happening
like there was an
in
issue
real
of like somebody like getting up from the couch and going to the kitchen to get something to drink, practically. You know? I mean, it was like there was nothing going on.
I found it fascinating from like many perspectives, but not like this was like fantastic material. I found it fantastic because he was like his whole premise was this happens like real time like in 24 and you're like, well, goddamn, nothing happened in this book. but you're amazed that it exists because it's like, wow, that's interesting, because why would you even do that to begin with?
Right.
And it yeah, it, that's what sold it for me because of its premise. But
yeah,
it had some, there's some really good artists in there. I mean,
I really ended up loving Matt Walden. And I think I first discovered him in that, in one of the books.
I can't even remember all the titles there were. Was America the first one that launched?
It might've been. There was America. There was the Absent Captain. There was, what was the, I can't remember. There was one I'm thinking of, but I can't remember the name. It's just one, a girl. It was like she was on a plane at first.
Yeah, that's the one that I love the artist for. But I don't remember what that was called.
Me neither.
It looks like I'm missing number two of America. America was weird because she'd wear those like barbed wire over her tits.
Yeah.
Well, like,
yeah, she had like she was like indestructible or something.
Yeah,
like,
so she would use that to like show her vulnerability or something. Like,
yeah,
I don't know, it was weird.
Yep. Now you gotta get number two.
Yeah, I didn't realize. I'll have to check to make sure I didn't like misinventory it.
Yeah.
That's weird that Comic Base has issue number 2 at $48. That's got to be ridiculous.
That
That can't be right.
can't be it.
Does yours say the same thing?
Yeah.
And then number
And
1
number
is
one is
21?
21. Yeah, I don't believe that at all.
Man, I'm gonna go to eBay and see if it's on there.
Yeah. I thought America was pretty actually well done.
Yeah.
That one, I think that he knew that was just a 4-issue series, so moved a little bit faster than some of the other ones that he was just going to have as ongoings.
Wow, some of these are expensive. Well, they're selling a lot for $35.
For
No,
real?
number 2 is $54.99.
Come on. Why? Because you just can't find
Holy
it?
shit.
Oh.
Oh, God.
What about my comic shop?
I don't know if I'm willing to pay $50 for a mediocre.
I don't blame you.
Hopefully I
But
have it. Like, hopefully it's just a miss.
doesn't that piss you off though too that it's just missing? Because that drives me insane.
It
Here,
does.
mycomicshop.com, a one in fine condition for $3.
That's what I want. That's why
There
I'll
you
go
go.
there.
Yeah.
That's
I don't know. I
crazy.
don't know why a brand new comic book is already only fine condition, but it's fine. That shouldn't be an issue, right? It's perfect to read.
Yeah, Harley's upset because she only went for a short one because I couldn't get back for the recording in time.
Oh.
So you're gonna hear her throwing tantrums because she didn't get a full walk. She only got like one to the back of the house and back.
She trying to get your attention?
Yeah, well, she's like, let's go.
Yeah, come on.
Come on. So, I read a comic book I didn't even know existed, and it's weird for me to run across something that I didn't know existed because I like read previews, and I must have totally ignored this one, but it's a Fifth World, a Fifth Week event at Marvel, and it was called it's titled really well, weird. Matter of fact, I was looking on the database and I'm like, what the fuck? On the cover it says Call Him Thor, but it's Marvel's Comics, not Marvel Comics, which is really threw me off. Marvel's Comics Thor, number
Huh.
one. And I had to do some research to find it because when I read it, I'm like, what the fuck is this? This is interesting. But it introduces another Thor, and where Mjolnir is all technical based, like tech based, and it was created by a father and given to one of his sons because he was injured being Thor. And I like the fact that like the one thing that threw me off is I didn't really understand where I was when I was reading this. Like I, it's by written by Ty Templeton with pencils by Derek. A coin, I guess.
When is this from?
2000.
Okay.
You have, if you're looking at the database, it's Marvel's, and it's not apostrophe, it's just Marvel's,
Oh, okay.
Marvel's Comics. It doesn't make any sense.
I see it.
Marvel's Comics Thor, and they had one for Spider-Man and Cap and X-Men and Fantastic Four. And the whole premise of this concept is, do you remember when DC did the Real Worlds instead of the Elseworlds, but the Real Worlds, Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman stuff? Well,
No.
this it Marvel's did something similar, and they call it like Real Worlds. Like, we'll take a more realistic approach, even though it's not really realistic. But what if Marvel Comics was created today, like
Oh, okay.
right now in 2000, what it would, why it would differ, you know? In the real world at 2000, and this is like a father who creates a Mjolnir from alien technology that landed, and he is able to craft this into like tech to power his son. He originally had the armor himself and was Thor, but the Destroyer, which is a real Thor character, actually crippled him. And now the father's crippled, and he has two sons, which kind of makes sense because, but they're real brothers. They're not step brothers like Loki and Thor. And the one of the brothers is corrupt and jealous. In other words, totally jealous that his brother is Thor and he's not. So he releases the destroyer on his brother. And it really is a cool story. I even like the way it was opening. Is like there was these muggers trying to steal a purse from a woman. And Thor comes and he nearly kills all three of these gangbangers. And he's like, holy crap, I almost killed them. And it's because he doesn't really know what this hammer can do. Like, he like shocks the hell out of them with electricity and almost kills one, fries one to death. And I love the concept. And then I was curious enough when I read it, I didn't know what it was. Like, I had to go, like, where did this character come from? And I had to go look at all the incarnations of Thor and say, like, how did I miss it? And I couldn't find it until I found the title, and then I found all the other titles, and then I knew it was like a fifth week event.
Yeah, I don't remember these at all. I don't own any of them.
So I put them all on my mycomicshop.com order because I'm fascinated because they're like Elseworlds.
Mark Millar did the X-Men one.
Yeah.
Wow. Interesting.
That should be really fun. This Thor one was really good.
Yeah, let me know how these other ones are.
Mm-hmm. And they're only $2 a pop just on my comic shop. So I was like, yeah, I'll get them.
Yeah, not bad at all.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. This is cool. This Daredevil? That's cool. I have one more. I actually read this morning. Judo Master number 90.
Oh, nice.
Judo Master 93.
I love Judo Master. He has a sidekick too. I forget what his name is.
Tiger.
Yeah, Tiger.
Mm-hmm. This is when it actually is on the cover. It says Meet the Tiger.
I'm surprised they haven't like had him anywhere. Because Judo Master was in Crisis, and he was the one guy that sort of never really had a title.
Do you think, do they still have the rights for Judo Master?
Well, they don't for Cannon anymore. Peter Cannon's over at Dynamite, so I was like, why can't Dynamite do a Judo Master?
Right.
But I used to love his costume and then the little blonde tail hanging out of the back.
It is a cool costume.
It's just a cool character design.
This is my only, the first Judo Master comp. 93.
Okay.
It's a cool cover. It's a white cover with the two of them. I missed a lot from issue 92, apparently. It gives you a quick little recap, but he had lost Judo Master.
I have 93. That is a great cover.
It is.
I'm missing 89.
And it continued from Gunmaster, it says.
Yeah, which is weird. They had some crazy moves.
Yeah, they did.
So I'm only missing 89. I should finish that.
Yeah, you got to.
Because I have the rest.
That's interesting. So his real name's Rick Jagger, and he is blind. From the previous adventure, he lost his eyesight.
Mick Jagger.
No, Rick. No, Rip. I mean, all right, Rip. You even confused me.
With the Rolling Stones.
Yeah, that's right. And the little kid's name is Keith Richards.
What?
No, just kidding. Judo Master is he's in bed, blinded, and they're saying. You know, everyone's trying to encourage him, saying that he's going to, you know, be back. He'll get his sight back soon and stuff. And he's like, I don't think so. And he's feeling very depressed and upset. This is my first reading of any of these. So this is set in during World War II. And he works with the government, the United States government. And the general there is trying to think, like, oh, we're going to be screwed. We have a mission. that we need Judo Master for, and he's saying he's throwing in the towel. He's not going to, you know, he's no good. He's not going to do this anymore. He's like, what we're going to need is we're going to tell him that Tiger is going to become the new Judo Master, and he'll get upset and say that we can't do that to, you know, can't throw a kid into that, and that'll get him, you know, revive him and get him back into the war. So he says this to him, and they start arguing, but it doesn't seem like anything is going to change. However, a few days later, now Tiger's been doing all of his training with this one other guy that I guess is kind of like the main martial arts trainer there. And finally, it's time for Judo Master to have his bandages over his eyes taken off. And sure enough, he can see. So they cut to Tiger doing his training, and then out of nowhere, Judo Master comes flying in and knocks out the trainer. Not knocks him out, but knocks him down. And he's in full costume, and he says, "All right, we're gonna do this together, the two of us." And so they fashion a costume for Tiger, and you see that on the cover, Mike. It's a white and red costume with like the Japan's rising sun on the as an emblem.
Yeah.
So the two of them, what they have to do is that there's this island, this basically it's like one big rock out in the Pacific, and it's they've tried to bomb it, they've tried to invade it, they basically can't get the Japanese off of that island, and it's causing them to not be able to do any resupplies, and they have to go all the way around another way, which is causing a lot of delays. So the mission is for them to infiltrate this island and destroy the guns that are there causing the problems. So both Tiger and Judo Master start scaling the cliff of the rock all the way up to the top. In the meantime, the martial arts trainer, which I can't remember his name and I'm not seeing it, but him and a bunch of men are causing a distraction down at the beach. So everyone's focused on the beach and nobody's looking on the other side of the sheer cliff face. Judo Master and Tiger get all the way up to the top and swing down into the, I don't know what they call it, where like inside like the little like alcove thing where the guns are, these big guns, but they swing in there and they start attacking and they blow up the guns, and they both dive back into the water to be picked up. Judo Master surfaces, and there's the martial arts trainer on the boat with some men. He says, "All right, come on, there's enemy boats in the water, you know, get up here." And then Tiger resurfaces, and he sees the boat kind of in the off in the distance. He starts waving them down, and as it gets closer, he sees that it's a Japanese boat instead, with a villain called Mountain Storm. He's like this big sumo guy. And so apparently he's going to get picked up and be captured by the Japanese. And that's the end of that part of the story. There are there's a couple backups as well. There's a short two-page, not story, but just informational about how, like, what the benefits of shouting, like as you attack, like for martial arts, but for other things as well, like, you know, hiya and stuff like that.
there's a benefit to it.
Yeah, they were talking about.
Is it an intimidation factor or something?
That they said that's definitely part of it. They say like how, you know, U.S. paratroopers in World War II would shout "Geronimo," and athletes. And,
see that
and
that I think would be a horrible thing to shout as you're jumping out of a plane, because if you could hear somebody say "Geronimo," I would just get aim and start shooting. They're coming.
Shoot! Yeah. Right? They were giving some other examples, but basically, then they said that by doing it in martial arts, it's supposed to be coming that shout. You're supposed to feel that coming from like the center of your body, and it's supposed to help focus you So it's not just the shout, but it's also supposed to give you extra power and focus your mind. So that was just a 2-page little like instructional thing. But there was a backup story with Sarge Steele, which was kind of cool. He is being tasked to pick up a diplomat.
He's been in DC Comics. We just talked about him.
Yeah, exactly.
Peacemaker.
Yeah. He's just a smaller character, but they keep him around.
Oh, they used him in Leviathan too, I think.
Yeah. That's where I saw him. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's got to pick up this ambassador from the airport. He thinks it's a real easy thing, and he starts getting followed by another car. And he dispatches them. He gets to the airport, and the ambassador is standing there. And this woman comes up to Sarge Steele instead, starts talking to him, and says, "Darling, what a surprise!" And he's like, "What?" And she kind of kisses him, and he becomes frozen. He can't talk or move or anything. And he notices that the ambassador is in the same boat. And so this is a villain named Santana Noir. And her helpers put them in wheelchairs and puts the ambassador in a wheelchair and wheels him away. So finally, after about six hours, six minutes. It finally wore off. And so he goes back to base and to try to figure out what was going on. And they identify who she is and everything else. And she ends up getting in touch with him. And they say that let me back up for a second, because Sarge Steele is using his connections to try to find out where Santana is, and he contacts the Russian ambassador, and he says he's got stuff on him or whatever, unless he tells him where this woman is, that it's gonna be all, no holes barred. So he says where Santana is, and it's at a penthouse of a hotel, and that's where he meets again with her, and she pulls out a gun. He disarms her and runs for the gun, and grabs it, and then grabs her. She starts kind of leaning back and rubs the side of her face against him, and he gets frozen again. So he's not learning from not to get too close to her, but they put him in a helicopter, and go to this military installation that apparently they've overtaken, and she escorts him and back to where the ambassador is, and they're kind of like being locked prisoner, and he surprises her by grabbing her from behind and kind of pinning her arms, and he says that the drug didn't work. He was just playing along because he did learn, and that she better do what he says. He wants the ambassador back. Now, in the meantime, there's these other troops that are working for her with trained dogs, and they're surrounding him. But that's the end of part one. So I don't know what happened, Mike. You'll have to tell me, since you've got issue number 94.
I'll have to dig that out.
Uh-huh. But, the Sarge
Steele story was... Like, I can't remember when I started doing this. Let's see if I can, gauge roughly time-wise. I started writing descriptions of everything I read in 2016. But before that, I didn't write anything down. But everything after 2016, if I had read Judo Master 2016, I'd be able to tell you what happened.
Yeah,
because I write just one line synopsis of
yeah
what it was, so I could remember.
Well, I have to say the Sarge Steele one was okay. I enjoyed it, but the Judo Master story, that was really good. I really liked it a lot.
Yeah, I've always liked Judo Master because of his, like, he's just iconic.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember buying my first Judo Master, might have been the cover that you have right there, but it's not the Charlton one. It's the Modern Comics because they used to sell them at Kmart.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so I have the Dash 2 version of that. But yeah, I have the one and two. Because I went back and bought all the Charlton. I was trying to fill in, like I have the first Question and the first Blue Beetle, the not the first Golden Age Blue Beetle, but the Ted Kord Blue Beetle.
Uh-huh.
And the only one that I think I'm missing is Captain Atom, but it's kind of expensive. Because I think he came out, like, I think he has, like, way more issues than the rest of them. And I don't even know if I have the Peter Cannon. I know I have the DC Peter Cannon.
Yeah.
Peter Cannon.
Man, I'm just looking at the history of this series, and it's really hard to track because they kept changing the name of it every few years.
Yeah, Charlton would do that.
Wow.
Maybe it's called Thunderbolt. What was Peter Cannon's book?
He had a book.
I thought he did at Charlton.
Yeah, because there was even an ad in there to get all the action books, and it was Peter Cannon.
I can't find
Judo
it.
Judo Master, Peacemaker, and Captain Atom.
Thunderbolt. Oh, it's just called Thunderbolt.
Okay.
Let's see if I have... No, I have number one, which is the first appearance of Thunderbolt, and then it jumps to 51.
Very weird.
I'm missing 51 through 54.
It went to Son of Vulcan.
And number 60. I have Son of Vulcan, I think.
49 issues.
Son of Vulcan, if I remember correctly, is in Crisis. So he came over too. Not only did he come over, but he had his own 4-issue miniseries at DC.
I got to bring that up.
So in 2005, Son of Vulcan, I was like this Charlton freak. Like once I understood what Alan Moore did with Watchmen, mm-hmm. I like wanted to have all of the Charlton stuff because yeah. I was like, okay. And when I read Crisis on off the shelf for the first time, mm-hmm. I was like, who are these characters? And I like knew who Judo Master was because I had his Modern comic and I knew Blue Beetle. Do you know who? Because that was the first time they came over to DC.
Yeah.
I had read the Modern comics. So I'm like, wow, there's these characters from another comic company. What's going on?
For me, this was all new to me. I didn't know who Blue Beetle. I didn't know Captain Atom. It was just Crisis. That was my introduction.
And if I remember correctly, Son of Vulcan is also in the Who's Who. Like, he's in the library.
Interesting.
Yeah, I don't know why the Peter Cannon slipped through the cracks, but...
It's weird because they did publish stuff, right?
I would not have let him slip through the cracks because he is Osman. You know, he's the optimal human. It's so cool.
Yeah. Are you watching the TV show?
I've seen the first two. I've really liked what I've seen.
Yeah, very good. Very well done.
I love the design of, what's his name, the looking glass? Oh,
yeah.
My God,
yeah.
His mask
That's
is
cool.
so awesome.
Yeah, it's
Plus,
very
I love
cool.
that actor because he was in, what was that George Clooney movie? I forget.
Where Brother,
Where Art Thou?
Yeah.
Yeah. He was one of the prisoners that broke out with George Clooney, and I think he's an amazing actor.
It's a great show.
Yeah. It's so weird. I like how in issue two that Osmond Danius was like reliving the play of Dr. Manhattan.
What was up with that?
Those clones that he created?
Yeah. Why
I'm
is
like,
he doing
holy
that?
Holy crap, I don't know, but it's pretty insane.
Yeah, visiting Dr. Manhattan's origin. Just, it's weird.
Yeah, the sad part of it is I wouldn't have known if Barb didn't tell me that that Oklahoma Tulsa incident was real.
I as I was listening to, I think, Daryl's podcast on that episode, I heard them talk about that, but I also saw, and I think Newsarama mentioned that that was real, but I had no idea
I
until
didn't
I saw the
either.
article.
And that's kind of a big deal, you know? I
Well, it
mean,
shows again the bias of like history books.
yeah.
It's like that. Why am I just learning that at the age of 47? Why did I like l not know about Japanese internment camps until like I was out of college?
Yeah.
You know what I
Oh,
mean? It's like these are
did you start? Did
huge.
you did you watch The Terror?
Yeah, I finished it. Yeah.
The second season?
Yeah, I didn't watch the first season, but this one
Talking
was really.
about talk about Japanese in prison camps.
Yep. And
Holy
you know what?
crap.
So much of it as you go through it, obviously not the supernatural aspect, but like all the other stuff is accurate. Like I actually looked up a couple things. Like they were given, I won't give anything away, but they were given like restitution, like
Yeah.
upon leaving the camps. I'm like, that's what, how much they're getting. Like it was so incredibly, like, I mean, basically, like it doesn't give anything away. It was like $25 a person.
Yeah. The
They were
only
there
thing
for like 4 years.
the only
And
thing
I
I
looked it up. That's true. That's how much they were given.
that's insane.
Yeah.
I had no idea the terror would like I watched the first season of the terror, which was it was slow, but it was creepy because it
This is kind of the same, but I like it a lot.
this one I'm thinking I'm liking more though because
Okay.
of the time period. The terror was fascinating initially because the thing with the terror is they're taking like history and then turning it into horror.
Yeah.
Like those expeditions actually happened.
Yeah.
And that's what made the terror like fascinating. And then they added the supernatural shit on top of it. And I was like, "Oh, yeah, that's crazy." I just started watching the terror and it's pretty good.
It is good. It is good. And yeah, it was it, again, it's just like it's disturbing that like as we're getting as old as we are that like you see like how much we didn't learn in school because of the who gets to write the history books.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I did some research on that Tulsa incident and it sounds like it could have started from like a black man being blamed for something that he wasn't
Yes.
in a on a white woman
Yeah.
and
He was
he had nothing to do with it and then
Yep.
he got
He
blamed
was
for it and they caused that group of people to go and retaliate based on that incident.
Well, yeah, from what I read a little bit, and it sounded like so he was accused of this, is at the, I don't know if it was at the jail or the courthouse, and there was like very, you know, is how much of a fair chance is he going to get? A lot of in the black community, they came out and they were outside, you know, the courthouse or what have you, and then there was like a scuffle or whatever, and then in retaliation to all that, all these whites and I don't know if they were, you know, if, I'm sure some of them were Ku Klux Klan or whatever, went and you saw like from the show, like destroyed like the entire area.
Yeah,
It's insane.
historically, it was the first aerial attack on U.S. soil.
Oh my, that's an, isn't that crazy?
Yeah, that's insane.
Dropping bombs from
Yeah.
dropping like dynamite from airplanes and stuff.
Airplanes, that's insane. Yeah,
Yeah.
that's crazy. Did you see how like how Lindelof sort of made that incident like Supermanish, like
Oh, yeah. I
putting
didn't
the
think
put
about it at the
In other
time, but
words,
after
the
the
two
fact.
parents taking the boy and
Yeah.
putting him in the back of that car, and then they took off, and then it was
Yeah.
just the boy with that little girl.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, that's so Supermanish. Like
It
it's
really
so
is.
like a rocket launch. I'm like, oh wow, this is incredible. Like I'm seeing so many levels on it, and I'm seeing so many people hate, and I just like, what are you watching? Like I
Wait,
just
hating the show?
no, yeah, and I don't
I haven't
get
heard
it.
anyone say that. That's
Well,
insane.
in our circle, everybody's really enjoyed it. Like Martin's
Yeah.
enjoyed it, Daryl's enjoyed it. I know 11 O'Clock Comics guys, they've enjoyed it. But there's ratings wise, it's really tanked. And
Wow.
there's people, there's another group I hang out with on a Slack channel, and they don't like it, but I don't fit in that group anyway. Like, for some reason, I just don't. But I just don't understand what they're seeing. Like,
Me neither. It's fantastic.
It's so,
for
it's
me,
so
it's must-see TV now.
Yeah, it's so Watchmen-esque. It's...
Mm-hmm. And what do you think? So that old... Now, I'm assuming...
I still have to watch issue that, 3 and 4. I think they've had...
Yeah, no,
four
I'm not giving
yet.
Anything away, but just from what you've seen in the first couple episodes, I'm thinking that, Louis Gossett Jr.
Yeah.
Is that was the kid.
Yeah.
Right? And
yeah,
so he's over 100
he
years
was,
old.
He was the kid from the Oklahoma incident, yeah.
Right. But I also think, and nothing's been said about it, so it's just my own opinion. It's not based on anything that I've seen ahead of you. It's just what I thought, even after the first episode, is that I think that he was hooded justice from the 40s.
Really?
Or whatever. I really think that he's hooded justice.
Because they had a modern hooded justice, right? In episode 2.
They were doing
it
like
a convenience store. Or was
that was back in the 30s.
Oh, was it a flashback?
Yeah, it was a flashback.
I didn't know it was a flashback.
Yeah, it was a flashback, or it was it was part of that TV show that they keep promoting within within Watchmen.
Yeah.
Like a reenactment of, but it was from the 30s, yeah.
Ah.
So that's just my own feeling. I don't know. I'm just thinking that might be.
Could be, because that's what the Don Johnson character got killed. Like,
yeah.
It's interesting. Yeah, like the whole scene is like, how did that happen? Right? Like, how did this old guy in a wheelchair?
Exactly.
Yeah. That's the
convincing
that's
a fascinating
part.
Show.
Yeah. Well, my last pick I'm going to just do real quickly is
sure.
The first appearance of Gamora. And it's a very verbose story, but what you learn in here is...
What issue was it again?
180.
Of what?
Of Strange Tales.
Oh, Strange Tales. I couldn't remember.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Warlock ran like from 178 to the 180s, and then I think it became Power of Warlock. Later on, Marvel. And I think he had a Marvel Spotlight or Marvel Premiere. And the Magus, who we know from Infinity Gauntlet and all the other different incarnations. The thing I guess I didn't realize until I read this, and maybe it just went past me, is that the Magus is really a future, at least in this story, he's told that it's a future version of himself. Like, he is Warlock in the future.
Mm.
So what he's trying to do, along with Pip the Troll, because he appears in this. This is obviously not his first appearance. But he is trying to prevent himself from becoming the Magus. And there's this one woman called the Magistrate. I don't know if that's her official name. She's drawn really sexy. She's drawn by Starlin. So Starlin's the artist on this, but the writer is Sam Gilchern, which I've never heard of.
Me neither.
But Jim Starlin is the artist, and he draws really good. But there is like panels in here where he's drawing like something cosmic, and on the left-hand side, there's just tons of text. It's reading like a book, like telling. It's like getting you up to speed on what happened before. And they call her the Matriarch, and she looks like a woman in her, I don't know, 40s, but she's real sensual. She looks real sexual, even though she's wearing like this weird robe with fur on it. But she like traps the Warlock, and they put him on trial with this beast that's on the cover. It reminds me of that X-Men villain. What is that X-Men villain's name? Candyman? Or what? Do you know who I'm talking about?
Yes.
With the arms coming? Sugar Man!
Oh, yeah.
So this guy looks like a sugar man, but he's an alien. He puts him on trial. His name is Krator, and it's kind of a biased trial. Like, his defender is an eyeball that can't even talk, so he can't even, like, defend him. And he's on trial for – he's found guilty. And then you have a short scene with Pip the Troll and Gamora saying that she's trying to find Warlock because she heard that he wants to kill the Magus and she wants to kill the Magus. And that's all you see of Gamora. That's like her first appearance.
Oh, wow.
And she's only on one page, but she's talking to Pip the Troll because she's trying to find Warlock as well. And Warlock is still captured by that one woman at the end, even though he tried to escape. And it's supposed to be concluded in a story called A Thousand Clowns. But I do want to seek out the rest of this. I would like to have all of these. I do have a full run of Power of Warlock. And I would like to get these as well. Some of them are quite expensive. They went up in value because he was speculated to be in the second Guardians of the Galaxy movie.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's going to get any cheaper because he's speculated to be in the third now. So.
Oh, is he?
Who knows?
Okay.
Yeah.
But it seems like even when it doesn't pan out, that they never go back down in price.
Yeah, that's true.
That's true. Well, like even Moon, I mean, now Moon Knight's going to have a series, but like Moon Knight was talked about for years and
I'm
went
so
up
glad
price
I did that when I did it. So
yeah,
with Moon Knight, I have everything except for one issue of a mini, and that's it. Like, I have everything Moon Knight has ever done in
so
his
you could
own
easily
title.
Get whatever you're missing without having to pay a ton.
Well, it's been on my want list for my comic shop, and they never have it.
Oh, they so just
don't
have it in stock.
I haven't really tried really hard on eBay or what is it, Atomic Avenue?
Yeah.
Which did pan out when I was looking for Songs of the Dead because I found out I was missing issue one of that because I liked the Necromancer map so much and found out it was the prequel and had to seek that out and found out on eBay. It was like one of those situations with the Overground comics that it was like $25 and I'm like, what? And then on my comics or on Atomic Avenue, it was like $3.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
It's quite a difference.
Supply and demand.
Yeah.
Do you ever look at that coverprice.com? I subscribe to their newsletter. It's so fun.
I didn't even know about it.
What they do is they do like weekly trends and eBay sales, and it's like their top 20, and it's just fascinating to find out what they have.
What is it called?
Coverprice.com, except I think cover price is like C. It doesn't have the O.
Or
it doesn't have the E. I can't remember what it is. You can pay a subscription too, and it'll tell you like what you should pay for stuff. Like, it's like a price guide as well. Cover. I can't remember. Price.
I found it. COVR price.
Yeah, COVR. Yeah, that's it.
Interesting. All right, I'm going to have to check this out. I didn't even know this existed. This doesn't cost any money, does it?
It does if you want to have... You can get the weekly email that tells you like what the top 20 are for free. That's what I do.
Okay.
Or you could get like their subscription service that... You can use it as like an Overstreet guide.
Well, okay, I don't need that.
Because it looks at like trends across eBay. So like it'll tell you the lowest price purchased was this and the highest was this. And if it's slabbed or unslabbed, so you can like find out what something should cost if you're ever shopping.
Yeah, this looks cool.
Yeah.
I'll have to check it out.
All right.
That's all I got.
All right. Well, I think we can wrap this one up.
Yeah. Thanks for, I'm glad you were available. Thanks for doing it.
Yeah. I was planning on it unless you guys said no.
Cool. Yeah. I had nothing going on, so.
The only thing that I wish that we could have done the other one too, but it didn't pan out.
I know. Yeah, we got to get going on that. We can't let it just sit. You know, we did the first one, and now it's been a while. So
it's hopefully sometime this week. But I want to get into the, I don't know, maybe after the first three, just whoever's available, do it.
I mean, that's what I was saying.
The one thing is I'm hoping that one person can get a recorder on theirs. That way, if I can't make it, the show could still go on.
Yeah, I can. Maybe you can guide me in doing that because I don't mind. But, you know, I mean, at first I was saying, well, it would be nice to get everyone together. But if that becomes too hard, even at the beginning, then we'll just have to. You know, if there's three of us, we'll just have to do it with three of us if somebody's not available. Because I don't want it to just sit.
No, I want to at least do idle. One. I want it to at least do one a month at a minimum, if not twice a monthly, you know.
Yeah, because otherwise it's just like out of sight, out of mind type thing.
And exactly. It'll never get any kind of momentum.
Exactly.
And people will just forget.
Yep.
At least if they know what the beats are, like how frequency, then you'll have people subscribe. But if they don't know, like if it's 1 to 6 months,
right. Yeah. The first one comes out and it's forever for another one. They're like, mm-hmm. Oh, what the hell? It just started. It's not even coming out.
And if you guys were wondering, we started a podcast called DC Everything Else, which is talking about DC Comics and, anything that's non-superhero, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Charlton. It includes Dead Company, so we could include Charlton and anything they've acquired.
Yeah, the first episode was fun. I'm looking forward to another. Maybe sometime this during the weekday we can get together. I know it's tough for you, too, because you're 2 hours behind, right?
Yeah, that's what's rough on the weekday.
Yeah.
I like Friday, Saturday, but at the same time, that could be the roughest for people that have kids or, you know, like work 9 to 5 because Friday might be your night with your spouse or whatever, you know.
It's hard to
– what I wanted it to be is opposite of me and Kyle, but
– Yeah.
What puts the fork in the road is the holidays are coming up.
Yeah, I know.
So that, and then I might be on another podcast, so I didn't expect that to happen.
Yeah, what the heck? But, you're a busy guy.
Yeah.
But I think the next, like during the holiday season, if we can get, and maybe that's just what we're going to have to do, is that even if we can get 3 out of 4 during the holiday season, and pretty much try to be flexible on any day.
Yeah.
You know, where we can get together any night, just do it. And then just to get stuff out there. And then when it gets to be a little calm, at the beginning of the year,
then release some.
Maybe we can be more, in terms of consistent and like, let's always meet on this particular night or whatever.
Yeah.
But
how's the weather out where you're at?
We got stupid snow last Monday night into Tuesday, like 10 inches. It broke a record by a lot for that particular day of the year.
Yeah.
Like the previous record was like 3 inches and we got like 10 inches.
Wow.
It's still on the ground, but it's starting to melt. And now we're expecting to have high 30s, low 40s for like the next 7 to 10 days. What about you?
It's been cold, but we didn't have any snow this week, so that's good.
Yeah, that was our first snowfall.
Yeah.
I didn't like it.
We've had already 2 snowfalls.
I know you
have. 3 of them,
it's
so
crazy.
Yeah.
I'm not a big fan of snow. I just don't like shoveling it.
Yep.
Or snowing it.
Well, to wrap this up, we can reach us at geekbrunchpodcast.com, on the Twitter at Rob Krieger, at MythMakingETC, Chris couldn't make it today, and at Mike Myers Brunch. And I think that's it. On Facebook, the same thing, Geek Brunch Podcast. Click the like button, follow the episode threads there. And we'll see you hopefully in, I don't know if 2 weeks is gonna, that's the holiday week, the next one.
Was it
So
Thanksgiving
might have
week?
to skip the next one.
Okay, we'll see what happens, but
Yeah.
yeah, I'll be flexible. We'll see what we can do. But
Yep.
thanks for doing it today.
Yeah, it was fun. Plus, we got to
Yeah.
talk about some other stuff.
Yeah, for sure.
Yep. All right. See ya.
All right, have a good one.
All right. Bye.